Three top stories, four notables, and a whole lot of laughs. Come join us on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode is presented by Rejection Con.
Rejection Con is upon us. It's almost here, December 12, 13, 14. Go to rejectioncon.com. Right there is where it is. That is the link. It's a pay what you can model. Do you got $0? Come on in. But I'm asking you to give more. Why would Wes be asking you to pay more? 100% of conference pass proceeds go to the Rural Tech Fund. Investing in underprivileged communities inside the United States. Revolutionizing the lives of children and their families by giving them a new hope and a new future. Rejection Con is about the rejected ones. It's about the square pegs and round holes. Look at some of these talks right here. We've got so many awesome talks, never heard before content. So get in on this. RejectionCon.com, December 12, 13, 14. I'll see you there.
Good morning and welcome to the December 12th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We are one step closer to Christmas. I still have an abundance of Halloween candy, and feeling really good, man. Love keeping up with the community, the efforts of everyone. This is episode 170. That's 170. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I went this weekend with the family to go see Godzilla Minus One. Phenomenal movie. You and I are in the same age range. I'll say that way to make it nice. So we watched the original Godzilla, right? We know what the original one was and how good that was. This is very much harkened to that. I'm not against the current Monarch series and all that. I love that. I think it's phenomenal. But the OG Godzilla, whew, this was awesome.
Definitely just started watching that Monarch series as well. So now you made me. Now we got to go see the. Wow. Okay.
No. If you want to talk about, I feel like I'm always thinking about how we can put like our Discord and let them see the back, what happens behind the scenes as we're recording this, and if the audience would have been able to see the Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan. Tony and I going back and forth. Oh, you got to see this. Oh, you got to see this. Tony pulls out a handheld welder. I'm pulling out a label maker that can print on any surface. Trying to get the other one to buy stuff.
Now, Amazon is literally funded. There's a double-digit move in Amazon's sales from us talking.
Absolutely. But you know what we never force each other to do?
What?
To get into the news.
Oh, let's do it.
In my first top story, head crab malware variants commandeer thousands of servers, written by Dan Raywood for Dark Reading. The head crab malware, renowned for building botnets for crypto mining and cyber attacks, has resurfaced with a new variant showcasing rootkit-like features. Aqua Security's researchers found that this variant has targeted 1,100 servers, following the initial variant impacting 1,200 servers. While not a typical rootkit, the malware allows control over responses, behaving similarly by modifying and concealing responses in affected areas. The updated variant enhances stealth by removing custom commands and adding encryption to the command and control infrastructure. Ice9, the malware's author, remains anonymous and maintains a unique mini-blog within the malware for sharing technical details. Despite detection, Ice9 continues to control Headcrab, with ongoing modifications anticipated. Aqua Security advises organizations to scan for vulnerabilities, address misconfigurations, and implement protective measures like Redis Protected Mode to mitigate Headcrab infections. Tony, we're worried about Skynet taking over. We're worried about AI. When just traditional, let's call it traditional AI, when regular old malware just keeps getting smarter and smarter. And then we're going to pair AI maybe for bad, maybe for good. Where do you see this going? Because head crab, cool name, whatever. It's coming. I want to know where you see the landscape going. What are we going in 2024? How bad do you expect this to get?
I want to open it up with this. Head crab. head crab infections you were talking about. Am I the only one where my head's itching? I feel like I know, I get it. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the landscape. There's a saying out there, I have no way of foretelling the future, but by the past. And what a astoundingly provocative and foretelling statement. If we know that we just went through the last 20 years of as a service, and we know that we are now launching a platform as a service, a hack as a service, a phishing as a service, a literal espionage as a service architecture. We just completed 20 years of commercial level as a service, insert montage here, and the MSP has evolved from the VAR to the MSP to the TSP. That is following the internet networking communication mesh across the board where everything is communicating with each other. We now have the evolution of the two combining to where the as a service, anything as a service, with the combination of everything being connected, which is of course the connective tissue in between all there are the script kiddies and the malwares and the bots. We're now putting that little drop of gasoline, AI. The question is, what is going to happen? Because there are going to be, I consider, two different paths. The path that sends me to my multitude of therapists to calm my anxiety down is the AI is going to accelerate to light speed all of the horrific things that we can imagine and the 1980s movies that we have seen, okay, from Terminator on. But what is AI, the police version of AI? What is that going to do to protect us? And there, I think, is going to be a battle. And the battle that is going to occur is going to be the isolation, which may result in the air gapping from security perspective of everyone outside of everything I just got done talking about, the connective, the hyper-connected, everything as a service scenario, which then the next evolution is how do these hyper-air-gapped silos become infected by these newly fueled AI-driven demons? Or are the real-time defense mechanisms going to be improved? I don't know. We could talk about this literally for hours, Ray. This is a massive, massive... I feel like, sorry for babbling so long. This is a massive topic that makes my head spin because what is coming in the future? You got 5 seconds. What's coming in the future?
So I love that we're on the cusp of Christmas. We're smack in the middle of Hanukkah. Like we're right on the edge of the brand new year. And all this happiness going around, and you're like, and you take all this like malware's bad, AI is gonna get bad, and it's gonna get bad together. Like there was no semblance of happiness in any of your prognostications, sir. And so, thank you for that. So AI, let's talk AI police. Let's see. Minority Report didn't turn out great. iRobot didn't turn out great. RoboCop didn't turn out great.
RoboCop could have gone well.
It could have got all of those individually. You could argue Jurassic Park could have gone well. Absolutely. You know what? Besides all that, my head is legitimately itching because of what you said. You know, Tony, take me to a happy place. Talk to me about something that would never break, like Linux. Give me some happy stories about Linux. Those are safe.
Yes, we've got one. We don't have one. Jumping straight into my first story. From TheVerge.com, Linux is joining the rest of us by getting its own version of the blue screen of death. Linux is introducing its version of the blue screen of death, that's BSOD, through the systemd BSOD service in the latest Linux release. Like Windows BSOD, Linux's version serves as an emergency tool to log errors. In case of a failed boot, the system generates a full screen message displaying a QR code for more information on the boot issue. This experimental feature, added as part of an outreachy project, is still subject to change according to a GitHub changelog. Given systemd's integral role in major Linux distributions like Ubuntu and Fedora, the BSOD feature will likely become a standard across various Linux distributions in 2024. As Linux explores its blue screen of death, Windows, in contrast, is not undergoing significant changes to its BSOD. This highlights the difference between Linux's current experimentation and historical alterations that Windows has experienced concerning the BSOD throughout the years. Ray, let's talk about this. I feel like so many positive things are happening, specifically the divisive position that we have always had between Windows and Linux. We're now coming together with the blue screen of death. Mac, where are you outside of your happy face? Talk to me.
Say it ain't so. I get, okay, I get why. I understand why it could have been delivered. The need for the delivery of information is there. I understand the why. It could have been delivered any other way. I mean, this is specifically for people. Okay, who uses Linux? People that specifically say, I don't use Windows, right? It's that. It's those people. And our proud sysadmins, of which we are them. And we salute each other, sir, and all for it. And both of those types of people already have a great, great hate for that blue screen. And so you're going to go to happy Linux land and you're going to like dirty my soil too. Now I take umbrage with the delivery method, not that it's in place. That's just my two cents. This is my grinds my gears episode.
So what the question is, because I'm a huge fan of logs. And I can look through logs, and you and I have the ability to look through pages and pages and pages of logs and create data trending, pattern recognition, and do that in a way that is machine-like. This makes it easier from a QR code to understand what's happening, but does it take it to the next level to be able to pull those? Because you and I have done it where you take those logs, you copy and you paste it somewhere that says, hey, and then it says, oh, out of all this, here's the one thing. And that is, and I love those programs that do that.
Oh, yeah.
But is it the step in the right direction, but it's not even kind of close? Are they missing the part where you and I are actually appreciating?
I would have loved to see a different color screen with some text on the screen saying the error has been logged and the error and the potential resolution has been logged in the audit logs or the event logs or whatever. Please go review them easily. And if it can list the URI to get to the log, the whatever log file, even better. Fantastic. Because it's not like that tech or whoever is using that computer is going to go click and then troubleshoot the whole damn thing from their cell phone. They're going to go back to their computer.
Interesting point.
And so why not give it to them there? Like the QR code, cute, right? But you and I have been to that place where you go to that website, fwid.net or evid.net or whatever, and you enter the event ID and 60% of the time it has the right answer.
Yep.
Sometimes it's like SFC scan now. Sometimes it do, sometimes it don't. And so also the maintaining of the database, making sure it's accurate. It's awesome for today. Is it going to help us? Is it going to stay accurate tomorrow? And given that this is Linux, this is not Windows made by a single organization. This is Linux with everybody throwing stuff in there. This can get really messy really fast.
So maybe it's time for some sound effects. Maybe it should have been the brown screen of death where your computer took a shit and
it plays the infamous brown note.
The brown note. No, because the admins need. Oh, that is beautiful.
Give me a QR code inside a poop emoji. Everybody understands that universally. I'm down with it.
Okay. You know what it should do? It should just send a text to somebody with the problem. The text could be used by Twilio, and I'm pretty certain that's very reliable and everything's going great in that aspect. Why don't you talk about that?
Tony, Twilio is doing fantastic just before this story. I'm pretty sure it's because we gave Danny a compliment. And if you want to know what we're talking about, check out the bloopers. Unfortunately, in my third top story, Twilio's announced layoffs, reiterates channel commitment, written by Sharon Florentine for Channel E2E. Communications tools company Twilio has announced layoffs affecting approximately 5% of its workforce, or about 300 employees, due to the underperformance of data and application business. CEO Jeff Lawson mentioned that while the company overachieved in its communications goals, its TD&A segment, including the customer data platform, CDP, segment and digital engagement offering, Flex, underachieved on growth. The layoffs will primarily affect the segment and Flex go-to-market teams, impacting supporting functions like marketing and finance. Despite the layoffs, Lawson reassured that Twilio's channel strategy remains unchanged, emphasizing the continued support for growing the partner community. The restructuring aims to focus resources on the customer AI vision and ensure the company's long-term profitability and growth. Tony, we've heard this same old, again, right? We had to do this. They're underperforming, but we have extreme profits. And even though we're cutting workforce and resources, we have a renewed commitment to do the thing that got us here to begin with, that got us more profits, even though we're doing layoffs. Is that about right? Did I miss any points there?
I feel like, first off, my brain is unwilling to comprehend why Twilio is doing bad, because everyone uses it from a business model for sending out texts. And I feel like they did some implementation of we'll call it inefficient portion of their model, which is sucking up a lot of their revenue. I'd love to see what their hiring trajectory has looked like over the last, 24 months. And at some point, this may be just the leveling out of that. But I'm pretty certain that the notification business has not dropped. Consequently, I feel like someone is going to get fired and will be looking for a job on Starbucks Wi-Fi soon. I just my personal opinion. I just know how Twilio is used. I know the consumption of it. I know the ongoing request for more notifications. I don't see how this could have happened. But I don't know. Maybe you know something I don't know. Talk to me.
It's weird. Usually when you see stuff like this, a company that should have revenue but doesn't, sometimes it points to poor leadership, Twitter. and it's weird to me. So for those that don't know, Twilio powers a gross majority of messaging in North America. But this is the same company. And they said it. They're making a ton of profits. This same company that bought ZipWhip, the messaging platform, who was using Twilio at the time. They bought ZipWhip for I forget how much, and then killed it within 12 months. Like, they completely decimated it. They didn't need it for the technology. There was not an acqui-hire. They just decimated the company. And there wasn't a large... At least back then, there weren't a ton of competitors when they did it either. And I know ZipWhip was profitable. There's no question there. So it just strikes me as weird. Yes, could be a leveling, right? But we saw that most of the other companies already did their leveling earlier this year, late last year. We reported on it, right? The mass 120,000 layoffs, 200,000 layoffs.
That was terrifying. You and I were reporting on that, and it was terrifying.
Yeah, it got to the point where, like, you remember, like, a couple of years into COVID, where, like, you knew those people that had still never gotten it yet, and they're basically unicorns. And so you met somebody with a job, and they're basically a unicorn at that point. So it's weird that Twilio is doing it now. right? If you had to read tea leaves for 2024 for Twilio, what does this tell you?
Well, I mean, good business models is like good hygiene, and you could ignore it if you want, but don't be surprised when the reaction, the reality of the situation comes into focus. And now I'm assuming they have a board that they have to adhere to. And at some point the board is going to go, we got to clean this. and like I said, I would love to see what their new hire trajectory looked like over the last, 24 to 30 months, and see if this is their leveling out period. Maybe this was ignored due to that acquisition, and there was a lot of activity, but not a lot of productivity. And now it's time to pay the piper. And the music is ending. There's only enough chairs. Someone has to be left out. And the game of musical chairs is, I think the music is ending. So I'm going to pass this over to you, and let's talk about some other stuff after this, because we've got this show is amazing. We have so many things to talk about, so many incredible topics. Ray, take it.
Notables.
Cuts to the chase. Let's do it. I'm going to the notables. In my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com from Sergio Gotlan, Google has acknowledged and addressed a bug causing files added to Google Drive after April and May 2023 to disappear. However, the fix is not a real solution for all affected users. The issue is linked to a synchronization problem affecting a limited subset using desktop Drive app versions 8.4.0.0.0 to 8.4.0.4.0. Users experiencing problems can attempt recovery using the desktop app by downloading Google Drive for desktop 8.5.0.13.0 or higher. Google advises submitting feedback with the hashtag DF8D84, that's Delta Foxtrot Delta 84 hashtag, for support, and suggests alternatives like restoring files from backups or contacting Google support. Some users reported that the suggested fix does not work, emphasizing ongoing challenges for affected individuals. In my next notable mention from TechCrunch.com, story from Sarah Perez, Beeper, the startup bringing iMessage to Android, is experiencing an outage, and Apple is believed to be the cause. The error message suggests a server lookup timeout, and the CEO, Eric Midzikovsky, suspects Apple deliberately severed Beeper's Mini access. He further argues that Beeper Mini enhanced security for iPhone users by enabling encrypted communication with Android users. Apple has consistently resisted releasing iMessage for Android, likely viewing it as a key feature that keeps users within its ecosystem. This resistance raises questions about their commitment to user privacy, especially considering Midzikovsky's claim that Beeper Mini has improved security for iPhone users. Apple, however, defends its actions, citing security concerns and alleging that Beeper Mini employs fake credentials to register as an iMessage client, posing risks such as metadata exposure and potential attacks.
In my first notable mention, Google is ending the year with a big update for Pixel devices, written by Chris Welch for The Verge. Google is introducing advanced AI features into the Pixel 8 Pro, accompanied by its December feature drop for Pixel hardware. Exclusive to the Pixel 8 Pro is a video boost that uploads videos to the cloud, adjusting color, lighting, stabilization, and graininess using computational photography models. The feature also brings night sight for video, applying AI-driven noise reduction in low-light conditions. Other updates include a balanced portrait light mode, enhanced photo unblur for pets, a clean option for receipts, a repair mode for data protection during servicing, and improved security features. In my second notable mention, Atlassian patches critical RCE flaws across multiple products, written by Bill Tulis for Bleeping Computer. Atlassian has patched 4 critical remote code execution vulnerabilities affecting Confluence, Jira, and Bitbucket servers, along with a Mac OS companion app. The flaws, scoring between 9.0 and 9.8 in severity, pose a risk of remote code execution by attackers. While there's no evidence of exploitation, administrators are advised to promptly update due to the extensive use of Atlassian products in corporate settings. Vulnerabilities include template injection, privileged RCE in Jira Service Management Asset Discovery Agent, macOS Companion App, Blocklist Bypass, and RCE in the Snake YAML library. Users should update to specified versions, and temporary mitigations are provided for specific vulnerabilities. In our resource of the week, coming in 2.5 hours from now, is RejectionCon, December 12th through the 14th, 2023. It's a virtual conference for those talks that didn't quite make the cut. It's all about second chances, giving every rejected session a shot at the spotlight. On day 3, December 14th at 1:45 p.m., join OIT's own Dean Tremplis as he talks about establishing a culture of real-time ticketing. Don't miss the chance to dive into practical insights and join the rejects for an MSP revolution. Register at the link below. In our feedback section from the YouTubes, our first commenter says, the whole TPM thing in Windows 11 addressed that bootloader vulnerability ? It would. Systems 11 is on without TPM and all earlier versions, right? Unfortunately, because you can disable TPM from within Windows, then you could overwrite the UEFI. No, TPM would not block it, unfortunately, referring to the UEFI overwriting malware. And in our second comment, what AI? There is no AI out there, and this is part of the problem. Words have meaning. AI means artificial, equivalent to human brain. You do not have that, at least not public. We have machine intelligence, perhaps VI, but not AI. Please get that fixed when a real AI breaks out. You will not have to figure out a new name, or it will be real AI, Raffle, Clown World. I understand the sentiment. HD is another moniker that was abused and then some. The word breach until it got legal definition, but also gets misused quite a bit. Whether this is AI or not AI, I will leave to the rest of the commenters.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. As you've already heard, later today at 1 p.m. Eastern Time is the beginning of RejectionCon, followed tomorrow at 11 a.m. by the 5-Step Profit Blueprint. And then on Thursday, the 14th at 10 a.m., Ignition 2023 ScalePad Partner Event. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, on Wednesday, the 13th at 10 a.m., AI Roundup is back for episode 47. And then on Thursday, the 14th at 6:30 p.m., the Tech Bar Podcast, episode 67, welcomes Megan Killian of MKC Agency. And on the 15th, Friday at 10 a.m., MSP Community Live, episode 20.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go and hit it 3 times, 5 times, 7 times. You know the deal. And if you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail 833-MSP-Network. Tony, I need you to do me a favor. We just need to sit quietly for a second because it has come to light that the number of people that watch are not the same number of people that hit that like button. And I know this because I have conversations every day with people that reference something we said on MSP Dispatch. And we can see the viewer counts on YouTube, but we need them to hit the like button. So we'll wait.
Hold on, hold on. Hey, you. I'm watching you right now. I'm watching you. Yes.
You mess with the bull, you get the horse. All right. Tony, this has been a hilarious and ludicrous episode of MSP Dispatch. I appreciate you, good sir. Thank you for all the wonderful news, even though you are fueling my nightmares.
Remember, my therapist, Groupon. With a Groupon, we can get like joint therapy. Oh, it's cheaper. Yeah.
at some point, we're just going to just do group therapy and be done with it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary, and a little bit of nightmares in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, and that's Freddy Krueger. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Other than your mute button working. We know your mute button is working.
No, it does. I was doing one last technical check.
Jumping into my first story from TheVerge.com. Linux is joining all of us by getting its own version of the blue screen of death. Linux is introducing the... Here we go. I should not have complimented Danny. Okay. Never again, dude. Never again. Okay, ready? Three, two, one. As Linux explores its own blue screen of death, Windows, in contrast... one more time. I'm never complimenting you again.
Never.
It's a real thing. It's real. This is real. Okay, one more time. As Linux...